I talked to Nuala from a studio in Florida yesterday where she was visiting her new relatives. And I've been looking at pictures of her grandmother and remarked on how very beautiful she'd been.
She knew it as well. She used to say to me, I was beautiful when I was young. And she really loved working at the American Army headquarters in the war. She was a typist at Atusa HQ in Mayfair. And she just had the time of her life because she was surrounded by all these handsome American GIs. And she was dating scores of them. And, but then she fell really hard for one particular lieutenant called Taylor and really fell in love with him and wanted to marry him. But when he realised that that was her plan, he ran a mile. So she had her heart broken by him. And that was how she met my real grandfather. He kind of came along when she was at a really low ebb and asked her out. And her plan was to go out with him briefly so that it would make Taylor jealous. That didn't work, and then she found herself pregnant by him. So,
yes. Well, shall we give him his name, because it is one of those extraordinary names that just sticks in the mind and makes you want to know more. Lawrence Rambo was
That's
his name.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I mean, if this were part of my lineage, there would be a certain part of me deeply tickled by the fact that there is a Rambo in the family.
Yeah, it's quite an extraordinary name. And when I met some of my cousins here, you know, they were all saying that Rambo was a perfectly good family name until those films came along, you know. But after I'd heard that was the name, I just had this kind of action hero in my head. Mm. When actually, I don't think he was like that at all.
No, well, I mean, let's sort of go from the superficial to the deep, because superficially, I can totally see what your grandmother saw in him. He was dashing and handsome and smouldering good looks as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was very dark and kind of had these piercing dark brown eyes. But he did have a big scar across his face, which she later found out was the result of a drink driving accident. So, yeah, there were lots of kind of small warnings along the way that, you know, he wasn't quite the man he presented himself as. But she was so young. I mean, she was only 20 when she met him and he was 10 years older. And I think, you know, she was slightly in awe of him.
Well, the drink driving scar was, you know, a superficial wound, but also the surface hid such a deep, deep problem. Drink really was a great problem for this man, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I mean, my grandmother was so young and naive. She didn't even know what an alcoholic was. That's what she told me. And I think when they were living together in England after they got married and he was drinking a lot and coming home late, she put it down to the pressure of the war. And then what happened was that one day a military policeman turned up at their door and told her he'd been court-martialed for bad debts and he was subsequently thrown out of the army. So she found herself following him on a boat across the Atlantic in 1944 before the war was even over. So she was one of the very first British war brides to go to America. Mm. And sort of hoping that once he was back in his home country, you know, he'd be back to normal and things would be fine. But when she arrived in New York at the dock, he was meant to meet her. He didn't show up. And the American Red Cross took her to his hotel and she found him passed out drunk. So that was kind of a bit of an omen of what was to come, really.
Mm. She may have been one of the first, but the experience, the GI bride experience, was to be repeated many times over with these women who'd fallen in love with the idea of a man in uniform, and then the reality was so different.
Absolutely. There were 70,000 British GI brides who went to live in America after the war, and I think, obviously, my grandmother's experience was quite extreme.
Mm. Was he unkind to your grandmother? Because I guess you, when you're sort of doing this, who do you think you are, your own personal odyssey, out of feeling for her, you must have felt quite defensive and quite angry with this man who loved her and then broke her heart.
Yeah, I did feel quite angry towards Lawrence Rambo when I heard my grandmother talking about him. But I suppose one of the things I did when I came to America was I actually tracked down what was left of my American family. My grandfather had long since died, but his sister is still alive. She's nearly 95 now. And, you know, hearing them talk about him, they described him as somebody with a terrible addiction, you know, a real illness that blighted his whole life. But they said that when he wasn't drunk, you know, he could be a really great guy. He was very charismatic. He was a great storyteller. And particularly all the cousins who knew him when they were children, they said he was the most fun uncle you could possibly have because he was crazy and he would let them do whatever they wanted. So he was kind of the fun uncle. So I kind of got this other side of his personality through talking to these other relatives.
And there was an extraordinary mythology around him. I mean, for somebody who was as young, isn't there this great story about him being expelled from high school for riding naked on an elephant? Really? How much of this could be true?
Well, yeah, that's the story, that he was thrown out of university for... he got the elephant keeper drunk and borrowed the elephant, and there was a parade going on in town, and he got on top of the elephant naked and rode it down the street. And apparently this is why he got thrown out of university. But as with a lot of Rambo stories, sometimes it's hard to tell, you know, what was true and what wasn't. And he himself was a great storyteller, and I think he liked to embellish things. And then they've been passed down through the generations, and it's been a bit like Chinese whispers.
Well, I suppose one thing that would have made it real, and you can't argue with, is that you saw a flesh and blood descendant, Lawrence Rambo Jr., sitting face to face, who shared a lot of attributes, people say.
Yeah, people said they had the same loud laugh, and that, you know, they're both great raconteurs. And
was this his son? Was this his son from a second marriage? Was it?
Yes, he married again once my grandparents split up, but that marriage also failed, and, you know, similar reasons, I think. And discovering that I had this uncle, you know, and meeting him for the first time was an incredible experience, and it made me realise, you know, this was probably the closest I was going to get to being in my late grandfather's company. So, and he also showed me the first picture I'd ever seen of my grandfather, which was an incredible experience, because I looked at this picture and I felt like I recognised it somehow, even though obviously I'd never seen him before. He kind of looked familiar to me, and I could sort of recognise certain features of my own in his.
Did you at any time, I mean, it sounds to me as if it changed, what was anger changed to great sympathy, and I just wonder, at any time did you think, actually I'm betraying my grandmother here by liking this man who hurt her?
Yeah, well, I suppose I started off the trip feeling quite angry. Then I went through this period of seeing him more as a kind of pitiable figure, I suppose. And when they described to me how later in life he'd stumbled in front of a car drunk and smashed his legs and had to go to a nursing home, things like that, I started to feel quite sorry for him. But then when I started to do more research and got his army records from the National Archives here in America, I read the transcript of the court-martial, which said that, I mean, not only had he committed these frauds, they'd been against the American Red Cross, and he'd pulled the same trick 12 times at different Red Cross clubs around London, where he would write cheques for cash, knowing he had no money in the bank. And when they did a psychiatric assessment of him before the court-martial, the diagnosis was that he was exhibiting psychopathic behaviour. So that was a very chilling thing to read. And I suppose when I came home, you know, I had very conflicted feelings about him, and ultimately I couldn't judge him. I mean, I've never met him, but I just felt very glad ultimately that my grandmother had run away from him, and that my own mother hadn't had to grow up with him as a father.
Just finally, has it changed you as a person, this journey?
I think it has, in a way, and one of the best ways is that I've actually discovered this whole new American family now that I never knew I had. And I'm actually here at the moment staying with his sister, who's my great aunt, who's 95. And it's just wonderful to kind of find out where you're from, you know, in a deep way, and see where your ancestors were from, and connect to your past in that way. Whereas I suppose previously I didn't have very much family in England and felt a bit cut adrift. And so it's just been really wonderful to discover this extended family that I didn't know I had.